This is Castle Playhouse. From the stages and studios, producers and playwrights of the world, your hosts, the brewers of Castle Lager, bring you the week's finest radio entertainment, Castle Playhouse.
But Petrovsky Goes On Forever by Denzil Barr. With Ian Calder and Jill Coles. But Petrovsky Goes On Forever.
Dear sir, it is some years since I wrote to your illustrious journal on my impossible... No, I'll be modest.
Father!
Incredible achievement.
Tea! Tea!
I'm in the middle of my letter, Catherine.
You know it's a waste of time writing. Even if they publish it, nobody will believe it. That isn't the last one you wrote.
That was 10 years ago.
The world hasn't changed much in 10 years. Now come and get your tea.
Oh, would you have it said in the village that Petrovsky is bullied by his daughter? Would you?
Believe that.
Scones. Superb. Straight from heaven.
I wouldn't call Mrs. Macpherson's shop heaven.
Perhaps heaven will be Mrs. Macpherson's shop.
That imagination of yours.
I, Petrovsky, hereby decree that the Scots are the chosen race.
Father, you get swept away, you know. It's not good.
There speaks reason. 2 + 2 = 4.
2 + 2 does = 4. And there's your tea.
And my pins. 1 + 1 = the incredible. Plus another the unimaginable. Plus another the unbelievable. Plus another...
There aren't that many superlatives.
Oh, you are a bully.
No, Father. Just an anchor.
I shall drink my tea. And sulk.
You always do, but it never lasts very long, does it?
You know how I hate silence.
So that's why, for weeks on end, you'll lock yourself up all alone with your pins, balancing them.
I talk to them, you know that.
And do they ever answer?
Why should they? They're only pins.
Blakes, babe. Fine, and you? Good. And to what do I owe this call from the corridors of power? Petrovsky. He said that 10 years ago. Pinnacle of pins. Protect him. I'm a security man, not a collector of crackpots. How do you mean give one of the youngsters a chance to get his feet wet? If it's that unimportant, why anybody at all? You never know, Blakesby. Ugh. Sir, says sir, does he? I won't weep. Goodbye. Politicians.
Mary, take down a note to the defense secretary.
Yes, Senator Adams.
Dear Victor, no, you'd better make it. Dear Mr. Defense Secretary.
Oh, don't tell me you've beaten him at golf again.
Are you ready, Mary?
Ballpoint poised, sir.
Dear Mr. Defense Secretary, Re Petrovsky.
Oh, that makes my day.
I've had another dialogue with our Navy people. They see no practical significance in Petrovsky's work. I've spoken to the Army. Answer, unprintable. I've checked with Air Command. Answer, negative. I've discussed with Space Agency. Ditto. I suggest no action.
I'm a happier woman, sir.
A good deed every day. That's my philosophy.
Only one a day, Senator?
So you see, Prokof, the whole success of this project must depend on the probe rocket being balanced on the interspace rocket, which in turn balances on the projector rocket at the moment of launching. The universe is open to us. Consider that.
Rockets balanced. Like pins one on top of the other?
Precisely.
Would you like them sharpened or just as they are?
This is intolerable.
I am a security expert, not a balancer of elongated objects.
I will make one last effort. You have heard of Pilutsky.
Pilutsky the Pole.
Who succeeded in balancing one pin on another.
Until a fly came within several meters of it and it collapsed.
Precisely.
So, why not go and see him?
Pilutsky died 40 years ago. You've heard of Petrovsky.
Petrovsky. When he left our country, he did it a great service.
He has claimed...
We have read his letter to the British scientific press.
I need Petrovsky's knowledge.
For a moment, I thought I heard you say...
I did. Ah, Queno, you've seen this.
We discussed it yesterday in committee, Mr. Partney.
If I remember rightly, there were only two discussion items on the agenda. The little Eppington rectory poltergeist and the Natterworth apparition. I saw nothing about Petrovsky.
It was discussed as an extra item. But since the name of Petrovsky appears to emerge every 10 years or so, and his claims are ignored by all reputable scientific and technical authorities...
That our enlightenment should be subservient to technology. Really, Quino. Let's suppose, for the sake of argument, that Petrovsky has done what he claims.
Then he's done something incapable of rational explanation.
And what do we call that? We have a name, you know.
Phenomenon.
More than that. A supernatural phenomenon. Which brings the matter into our province, Queno. Ours. Yes.
Yes, Mr. Partney.
I told you before, Professor Petrovsky is a fake. Why do you think he lives in Scotland, a country where men wear skirts and make so-called music by blowing into sheep's stomachs?
I wish to go and see Petrovsky.
In your position, Professor? Impossible.
Then bring him here.
Dear Petrovsky, please come home. All is forgiven.
I am told there are methods of getting him here. You have a worldwide organization. Oh, I wasn't born yesterday.
So? You would like his papers photographed?
It is all in his head.
Perhaps we could create a blackmail situation. There was Olga and that man in the ministry in London.
Unfortunately, Petrovsky must be over 70.
I have been told he has a daughter.
Ah, the classic situation.
They are devoted to each other.
What would security agents do if all professors did not have beautiful daughters they were devoted to?
So you think we might exploit the classic situation?
It is a suggestion.
Leave the matter with me, Professor. It will be given full attention.
I'm sure it will. I have friends, you know. High in the party.
I know, Professor. After all, it is my job to know who your friends are. Good day.
You realize, Queno, we may have some quite interesting minor phenomena in this country, but we've never had anything to compare with some of the European examples. Gothic castles, those dark forests.
The Anglo-Saxon Chronicle records that in 776 A.D., marvelous adders were seen in Sussex.
Hardly a recent occurrence.
There have been earlier opportunities to recognize Petrovsky's work.
The flower in the desert is no less a flower because it has been allowed to bloom unseen.
Perhaps then a cautious investigation may be justified.
Petrovsky is a Russian, isn't he?
His family were Ukrainian. They brought him here as a youth.
Religion?
Orthodox, I believe.
Very promising. There's always been something about the old Orthodox Russian soul. You're not particularly committed for the next week or so, Quenol, are you?
Well, there's a considerable amount of correspondence to deal with.
I'd like an experienced man. I'm sure we can handle any routine at this end without you.
But, Mr. Partney,
It would be most satisfying to have a major British phenomenon for a change, don't you think? You'll have to be cautious. We don't want to make fools of ourselves.
No, we don't.
A British phenomenon. That would put the metaphorical cat among the not-so-metaphorical ravens, eh? A tantalizing thought.
A tantalizing thought, indeed.
Good morning, Senator.
It wasn't Senator last night, was it?
That was last night, Senator.
I've got good news for you.
You mean
The Miami trip?
No, just that I've had a communication from the defense secretary, Lee Petrovsky.
Negative?
That's right. Forget him till next time.
That'll save me a workout with my psychiatrist.
Oh, that's good. And now, about that Miami trip.
Mr. Blakesby?
Ah, yes, come in, Berries. Push the door to. Have a chair. George, isn't it?
John, sir.
Forget the sir. When the need arises, I'll be the first to disown you. Well, glad to meet you, Berries. Good life, you know, for the right man.
So the other right men tell me.
Touché. Excuse me. Blakesby. Quiet exit, that's all we want. Now, that's much tidier. If I remember, Klinker went that way. Most discreet. Keep me informed. Sorry, Lewis. Disposal problem. Where were we? Oh, yes. Are you ruthless?
Well, I was front row of the scrum at college.
I mean our sort of ruthlessness.
I don't know yet.
Have you heard from your father?
Yes, he's in Peru. Busy, of course, showing the flag.
Good Scott. Knew him well when we were both in the embassy in Washington. I think you'll fit, Bevis.
Father's footsteps,
You could do worse than that. You've read the file on Petrovsky?
Yes.
He has a daughter, you know. Yes, she's quite attractive.
So?
I'd hate for you to go stale on your first job.
That's thoughtful of you.
I gather she got a good degree in English, and that should help communication. We do think of our men, you know.
I'll remember.
Good evening. Good evening, Mr. Berries.
I'll have a beer, please.
Your room comfortable?
Oh, yes, yes.
You come all the way from London, Baru, did you then?
No, I hired a car in Edinburgh.
There you are, Mr. Berries. A pint of the best bitter.
Thanks. Anyone else staying here?
There's another gentleman from London, a legal gentleman, I think. Quite a philosopher. Why, and there's a foreign gentleman.
Interesting.
Says he's here for the fishing. So he says. They're both out.
Together?
No, no, separate, very separate. I'm hoping they won't go too far. They were both heading for the old Grange, and it'll be dark and under the hour. And old Petrovsky's unlikely to make them very welcome.
Petrovsky?
Aye, he's an inventor.
Not my line, I'm afraid.
That's a fine pair of binoculars you're carrying.
I birdwatch.
All right. That's three birdwatchers staying here. You'll find the Grange about 2 miles along there on the headland road.
That's good beer, you know.
Aye, it's the best.
Good morning. I'm John Bevers.
Come in, please. I'm Catherine. Professor Petrovsky's my father.
I'm sorry I'm late. I had trouble starting the car.
The others have only just arrived.
The others?
Well, there's a Mr. Ostrovich and another gentleman who's a solicitor, or something like that. He gave his name as Mr. Quennell. They're both staying at the inn.
A mixed assembly.
The last time my father wrote to the press, only one man turned up. People don't always believe Father, I'm afraid.
Do you believe him, Miss Petrovsky?
Of course I do.
From what I read, it's rather a remarkable achievement. I suppose that when it's explained...
I'm sure Father will tell you all you need to know.
Need?
Please, Mr. Bevis.
John.
John, I'll take you through to the others.
I'll see you later, perhaps, Catherine.
If you wish. This way, John.
Observe, gentlemen, how the shield, although appearing to be a single vertical glass tube, is in fact composed of a multiplicity of short sections.
Ah, yes, yes. Quite remarkable, Petrovsky.
When I was a child in the Ukraine, I was taught that the English are a precise people. Nevertheless, Mr. Bevis, the precision which you are at this moment witnessing...
Just so, Professor.
It took me 7 years to learn how to balance the first pin of my pinnacle, which you will observe within the glass shield on its pointed end. A long apprenticeship, Mr. Ostrovich?
Incredible.
The second pin, balanced on the first, took me no more than 3 years to position, and the third, slightly less than 1 year. An intelligent creature learns.
That is evident.
At the same time, however,
I had to consider posterity, Mr. Quinnell.
Ah, yes, sir. Posterity. Although, let us not forget the past, too.
Each piece of glass in this shield was fabricated for me by hand by an old glassmaker of Bohemia whom my father knew. He produced 100 of these finely fitting pieces at small cost, enough to provide a tower some 30 feet, 2.5 inches in height.
Of course, it must provide a controlled atmosphere.
An absence of atmosphere, which would otherwise have caused the pins to corrode. The base of my pinnacle, which you have already inspected, was built to my specification by a then well-known billiard table manufacturer in Stoke-on-Trent.
Ah, specialists in flat surface, hmm?
Not only flat, Mr. Bevis, but absolutely horizontal to the Earth's gravitational field. The base itself was suspended by a system of springs and counter-springs which I invented, capable of absorbing all shock.
That is beyond comprehension.
No problem is insoluble.
Suppose I put to you, Petrovsky, that your pinnacle is nothing more than a suspension of pins welded together.
Or perhaps hollow, with a microscopically fine wire threaded through. Pilutsky, in 1912, first reported that he had perfected a method whereby he could balance a pin on its pointed end and another on top of the first. I have tried Pilutsky's method. It does not work. In addition, Pilutsky was a Pole.
You still haven't answered my accusation.
You see this side table, gentlemen? Now here, I have a few smaller assemblies. I start them off quite frequently now. Oh, just a matter of habit. This one, for example, 4 pins high, slightly more than a year old. Lift the cover, Mr. Bevis.
But surely
Come. Nothing disastrous is likely to result from 4 pins falling a few inches. No. Oh, just the cover. The air will do the rest. Ah, that's right. Gently. You see how, as the incoming air meets the balanced pins...
Good heavens! They were balanced.
Yes. It is hard to conceive of this as the work of a mere mortal, don't you think, gentlemen?
That's an extraordinary assumption, Professor.
You may draw your own conclusions as to what I imply. There are 108 pins balanced end to end in the main assembly. Shortly, there will be 109.
May I ask you a pertinent question, Professor?
Proceed, Mr. Quennell.
Why have you spent your life erecting this pinnacle of pins that appears so practically useless? Why?
Why? Why, you ask? Why was the universe created? Tell me that. Why? Oh, this vast symmetry of suns and planets all moving in a mighty vacuum.
A difficult question to answer, Professor. Unless one has a belief in things beyond the obviously functional.
Perhaps it is the prerogative of the immortals to create senseless, useless assemblies. But then, I was taught as a boy that even God was a Russian. Orthodox, of course.
Every Russian knows that is so.
After all, the depth of the Russian soul is limitless. Hey, Mr. Ostrovich.
It is good, Petrovsky, to meet a fellow countryman, one who knows the meaning of the word soul.
Goodbye, John. Drive carefully. Well, Father, that's the last. He's a nice young man, isn't he?
Nice? Who's nice?
John. John Bevis. He hopes to be an author.
He looks singularly affluent for one living on hope.
Oh, he probably has private means.
I wouldn't trust any of them.
Father.
I can smell out a spy anywhere.
Well, if they're spies, you've only yourself to blame for them being here, writing that letter.
You're a bully, Catherine.
Piffle, Father.
Piffle, piffle, piffle.
Yes, piffle.
Purr.
All right, let's pretend they are spies. What are you going to do about it?
Do?
If they're spies, who knows what might happen?
Just because they're spies doesn't mean we're going to have our throats cut.
Oh, it all seems so silly.
Silly or not, we might as well be prepared.
Yes, perhaps you're right, Father. We might as well be prepared.
Report on first meeting with Petrovsky, John Bevis. I saw Petrovsky's pinnacle of pins today in company with 2 other observers. I suspect both. Enclosed film has photographs taken from the bedroom window of inn... Please check on the following individuals.
Petrovsky, first interrogation note, Igor Ostrovich. Petrovsky's tower is brilliantly incredible. Essential to check credentials of other simultaneous viewers. Filming close taken from hotel bedroom window. Details of suspects are as follows.
My dear partner, words fail me. Nothing for 50 years approaches Petrovsky's achievement. Yet at the same time, the man, Petrovsky, seems likely to present a formidable obstacle to any immediate recognition of what he has done.
There you are, John. Your first sunset over the Western Isle. I don't suppose you get a view like this from Victoria Station.
No, but there are compensations. It's a full life.
Did you come to see Father's pins as part of the background you're after?
Oh, no, that was just incidental. I'm not particularly interested.
That's not very complimentary to Father now.
What does your father want?
Recognition.
Yet he's not prepared to show anybody how he builds his pinnacle?
Why should he? It exists. That's all that matters.
Do you know how he does it?
No.
Aren't you afraid somebody might try to get the secret from him?
Can you see anyone wanting to find out how to balance one pin on another?
The world's full of strange people.
Does that include you, John?
They might threaten your father, or even you.
Just think, Father threatened, or me used to blackmail him. Oh, what a waste of time.
The road to disaster is paved with flippancies.
Didn't you know? Father's heart's been weak for years. Any excitement would certainly kill him.
Nobody has a heart that weak.
Father has.
Supposing somebody pulled a gun on him, or threatened you.
The shock would kill him, for sure.
I'm speechless.
So were the others.
You told them?
Naturally.
So, with your father's heart as it is, you've got instant security.
It's rather comforting, don't you think?
Ah. Do I see our solicitor's friend picking his legal way round the hill towards us? Oh, dear. I suppose I must adopt a suitable appearance of frigidity.
Oh, you know it's for your own protection.
Clutch your heart and groan, so. Every 5 minutes.
Not like that, as we practiced.
Oh, right. Like so.
That's better. I'm out for the morning anyway.
Who this time?
Mr. Ostrovich. I'm going fishing with him.
At least if he's out with you, he can't be here expounding on the depth of the Russian soul.
You should talk.
May we expect some salmon for dinner?
Having seen him try to cast a fly, the only salmon we're likely to have will be canned.
I must confess to being baffled, Professor. Truly baffled.
That is surely a dangerous admission for one of your profession, Mr. Quenner.
My profession merely spells out a code for maintaining a stable society.
Ah, yes.
But now I hear you compare your pinnacle of pins with the creation of the universe itself.
Why not?
But the scale, Professor, the magnitude of the universe.
Perhaps the creator of the universe happens to be very big. After all, with so much space to grow big in.
Oh, dear.
Would you say that any mere mortal on his own could balance 108 pins?
Perhaps, sir, we are witnessing powers beyond rational interpretation. I would suggest that you, sir, are the practical instrument of greater forces than any of us. Forces that use us as earthly vehicles.
A wheel at each corner.
These are matters of great profundity.
Tell me then, if you were such a power, would you choose me as a vehicle? Would you?
Well...
You have no faith in your own words and theories.
There is no need for insult, Professor.
Your
heart?
I must rest.
I shouldn't have raised my voice.
Why not? Your argument sounded singularly ineffectual when uttered in a normal voice.
Really, sir, can I be of any assistance, Professor?
You, Mr. Quenner? Yes, you can assist by continuing your walk so that I may rest.
I can't leave you in this condition.
I have my pills. Please call on another occasion. Who knows what further wonders might be revealed? Good day, Mr. Quenner.
You're certain?
I am always certain.
Very well. Good day, then, Professor.
A misguided bigot. Ah, well, a wee spot of whiskey won't go amiss. Blessed distillate of the chosen race.
Quick, Mr. Ostrovich. Up! Pity, you nearly got him that time.
I always nearly succeed.
It takes years to become a fisherman.
I think I'll call it a day. I can always buy a salmon in the village horse to keep my dignity in the face of the innkeeper.
Old Angus knows every fish in this river. Don't buy one. Tell him you landed one and gave it to me.
He won't believe me.
Does it matter as long as he doesn't know?
You are a strange girl, Miss Petrovsky.
Catherine, please.
Then I am Igor. But such a comment from so principled a person.
Principled?
The way you look after your ailing father.
I blush.
Yet, is it so necessary?
His heart's very weak, as I told you. The slightest shock. Anything could kill him. A word, an anger, a threat.
But who would threaten the professor? Still, it would be tragic if his secret should die with him.
Tragic? Who for? Nobody's ever believed father, so how could it be tragic?
I believe him, Catherine.
Thank you, kind sir. But I'm still not sure I believe you.
Now I am hurt.
We've lived too long with disbelief.
Perhaps now you see the end of an era. There must always be a new beginning. After all, it is not many days since we first met. Who knows what may ensue from our meeting?
I'll help you with your tackle, Igor.
Oh, my tackle, yes, thank you. I am a poor fisherman.
Not even a fisher of men.
That least of all, Catherine.
Are you in, Professor?
Ah, Mr. Bevis, the quiet one.
I wasn't aware that I was quiet.
Quiet men never are. Even Catherine says she doesn't know what you do for a living.
But didn't she tell you I was working on a book?
No. I should like to meet your publisher, Mr. Bevis. He must be unusually generous.
I have another source of income.
Ah. Catherine is out, I regret.
Yes, I saw her in the distance along the estuary. The tide's rising fast. I should imagine those currents could be very dangerous.
Oh.
Your heart?
Oh. Please, don't concern yourself. It was just the thought. But then, Catherine knows every inch of the coastline. There, I feel better again.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize.
A few people do, until they see for themselves.
No. Cigarette, Professor?
I don't smoke.
You don't mind if I do?
I am not the arbiter of your health.
Oh, I'm so careless. Professor, are you all right?
Go on your way, young man. Another shock and... Please, Mr. Bevis, leave me.
Can I help in any way?
Yes, you can. Say goodbye in a quiet voice, and please don't slam the door as you leave. In fact, leave it open. Good day, Mr. Bevis.
You're sure now?
Good day.
Very well. Good day, Professor.
As if he could deceive me with his puny subterfuges. I think that deserves another thought for Petrovsky. I spent my life building my pinnacle of pins when I could have achieved equal fame as a Shakespearean actor.
Leave your things in the hall, Igor.
Oh, I'm sure King Lear was never found with a whiskey bottle in his hands. Under the cushion. That's better.
Father!
I am in here, Catherine.
Are you ill, Father?
I've taken one of my pills.
Can I be of any help, Professor?
I know what to do, Igor. Just sit down, Father, quietly. Was it John? We saw him leaving.
He didn't intend any harm. He was noisy.
There now. I'm back.
He dropped his cigarette case. Oh, the crash.
He should have known. You see, Igor, as I told you.
I would never have realized.
There you are, Father. Close your eyes. You'd better go, Igor. Just creep out.
Are you certain?
Yes, please. Thank you for the fishing. I enjoyed it.
Go quietly.
Oh, would you like me to take my shoes off so that I can creep out more softly?
No, don't bother. Just tiptoe. Goodbye, Igor.
Not goodbye. Au revoir, Catherine. Has he gone?
Shh. Yes. You old scoundrel.
3 in one day. I'm afraid I was rather severe on your favorite young man.
John, it'll do him good.
A brilliant plan of yours, Catherine. To think they imagine they can fool Petrovsky. They're all after my secret, you know.
I think you may be right.
Maybe.
Oh. What's wrong with them wanting to know anyway?
Why can't they all just recognize my genius without wanting to know how?
If only you knew how to finish what you start, Father. It's like your pinnacle here. Is there any need for it to grow and grow and grow?
Why does the universe grow? The first sun would have proved a point, but what have we today? And it goes on growing the whole time. What for? What is my conceit compared to that?
John, why are you after Father's secret?
I'm not after it.
I don't believe you're here for the reason you say you are.
Go on.
I'm sorry, but the way you tried to disprove what I told you about Father's heart, it's also very obvious that Igor was checking up as well. That makes 2 of you. I suppose you're in league. No doubt Mr. Quennell's in the act as well.
You're joking.
And I think you're lying.
I may have lied about some things, but not that.
Goodbye.
Oh, wait, please.
Why should I?
Because I think you're intelligent enough.
I have been known to get violent.
I'm here to protect you.
You? Protect me?
Ostrovich is a foreign agent.
How do you know?
Because I'm paid to know.
Tell me who you are, then.
Somebody here to protect you and your father against men like Ostrovich. You've got to trust me. So now perhaps you see why I'm here.
If your employers can see no value in Father's work, why should anybody else?
That's what we don't know.
Perhaps Igor doesn't know either. Perhaps he's here to protect us from you. Perhaps Mr. Quennell is here to protect us from both of you.
I don't think Quennell's involved that way.
What stirring times we do live in. The Highlands swarming with secret agents. All perfect gentlemen.
Well, that's the way it goes in this profession.
Profession?
Well, think of another name then.
Are you enjoying your new profession?
Not particularly.
Here you are, a fuss in history from Oxford and doing this sort of work.
I could teach, I suppose.
At least you'd be doing something constructive.
You try a week of walking round the nearest mountain, pretending not to be seeing Ostrovich following me around, pretending not to be seeing Quennell behind him, with Quennell pretending not to be seeing me following him.
But if you don't think Mr. Quennell...
If he's following Ostrovich, I'm next in line. We're all scared now of coming within a mile of your father.
Good.
I doubt if any of us really believes his heart's weak, but nobody seems to have proven otherwise yet.
Oh, you can't walk around forever.
Is your father's heart as weak as you say?
Yes, it is.
If I fall down on this assignment, I won't feel particularly proud of myself.
I hope you do fall down on it. I don't like spies.
I'm not a spy.
I don't like secret agents, then.
What about ex-secret agents?
I think I could like one particular ex-agent. That is, if he became an ex-agent.
I'll remember. But until something happens, I can't do anything.
Being a secret agent seems a totally futile occupation to me.
I haven't been one for long enough to decide whether it is or not.
Let me know when you do decide, won't you, John?
I will, Catherine.
That's not really true, is it?
It is, Mary.
Asia, the Middle East, South America, Cuba. Haven't we enough headaches without Petrovsky?
When the Defense Secretary says jump, we jump.
Like lemmings into the Baltic Ocean. See? I know my geography.
It seems that we may not see any practical outcome of Petrovsky's peculiar genius, but most of the other space nations that matter are there like wasps round a rotten apple. So, get me a line to London. That's an order.
Straight from the White House?
Even higher than that, Mary.
There's only one place higher than the White House, Senator. Glory hallelujah. Anybody particular?
CIA.
Oh. Thin men in long raincoats chasing fat men in even longer raincoats. Just give me 2 minutes screening time in the restroom, then I'll get you London, Senator.
Petrovsky, here we come.
Shouldn't a soundtrack of the Battle Hymn of the Republic come in at that point?
Not this time, Mary. I hope to keep it a low-budget production.
I cannot be responsible for each mathematician we have in our research institutes.
First of all, Professor, you come to me and tell me that the future of our whole space program rests on obtaining Petrovsky's secret. I mount a major security operation. Now, you have the audacity to tell me that the calculations on which you based your judgments are wrong. Pah!
It was merely a misprint of one mathematical symbol.
Why wasn't this error found?
I understand that the young mathematician is in love. You know what young men are like when they're in love.
You appear, Professor, to be ready to shed your responsibilities on the most trivial excuses.
No damage has been done.
I will call off the operation, naturally. But a report will be prepared. No detail will be omitted.
I presume you will remember to record that after nearly 2 weeks, your organization had made no progress in obtaining Petrovsky's secret.
Good day, Professor.
Good day to you, Prokof.
Close the door quietly, Professor. It's an ill wind that doesn't bring somebody some good, even when it blows from Kamchatka.
Yes, this is Partney. Ah, Queno. Petrovsky? Well? I suppose we can't win them all, as they say these days. Well, I'll see you on Thursday, then. Goodbye, Queno. For men may come, and men may go, but Petrovsky... Oh, dear, 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 dear.
No. It goes like
us. Good evening, Mr. Bevis.
Oh, good evening, Angus.
The gentlemen over there have asked you to have a drink.
Oh, Mr. Bevis, come and join us.
They're leaving in the morning, you see.
Leaving?
Aye, the pair.
Oh, really?
Mine's is the best ale for Mr. Bevis, Landlord, and one for yourself.
Should old acquaintance.
I'm pleased to meet you again, Mr. Bevis. It is so long.
Yes.
And of course, you know my partner in celebration, Mr. Quindon.
Yes, I do.
I have remained rather remote, I regret.
Not at all. I've also been immersed in the surroundings.
Rich material for your book. But now we can atone for our isolation, since I am leaving tomorrow.
I'm sorry to hear this.
Oh, sorry, he says, when we have scarcely spoken.
Your beer, Mr. Bevis.
Thanks. Well... Good health to all of you.
Oh, aye. Your very good health, gentlemen. I have decided that I am no fisherman, but I can return with good heart to the stresses of urban life.
And for me, the fervor of the law courts again.
Well, bon voyage to both of you.
And you, Mr. Bevis, are you not also ready to return?
I suppose I'll be going back in a day or two.
Young Cathy will find it quiet when you've all gone, aye.
Oh, Catherine, yes. Charming girl, such a pity.
But then she'll have other company.
What do you mean by other company?
There's a Mr. Denver arriving tomorrow.
Denver?
Aye, an American.
Do you know him?
No. I thought he said Fender.
You know, it surprises me how such a delightful girl as Catherine Petrovsky can remain single with such a plethora of desirable suitors coming here to relax.
What makes you think they're all suitable?
Mr. Bevis, on our last evening...
I'm sorry.
Come. Who shall we toast on the eve of our departure? Our unique Professor Petrovsky, inventor of the most remarkable useless construction.
Useless?
Can you think of a use for it?
Useless, perhaps. But nevertheless, an incredible phenomenon. Almost supernatural.
Oh, supernatural. Sometimes I wish I could believe in the supernatural. My grandfather did, but not me.
The world is full of remarkable happenings for us to witness, if we do but use our senses.
Oh, aye, Ravi Burns knew that.
Let us toast Professor Petrovsky. May he live long to enjoy the fruits of his futile endeavor. Professor Petrovsky.
Professor Petrovsky.
And his daughter, Catherine. May she long be courted by a succession of international suitors.
Go to the devil! I suppose you know that a new contestant in the Petrovsky stakes has arrived at the inn?
Father received a letter from him this morning.
He's prepared to face the problem of his weak heart with another probable spy?
Mr. Denver may just be a tourist, as he says.
From the way Ostrovich reacted when he heard his name,
it was probably your imagination. After all, look what we thought about Igor on his left and Mr. Quennell.
More likely strategic withdrawals. They'll be back.
I'll wait until that happens before I make any comment.
So, I have to look forward to another session of lurking behind trees while you have a new series of gay days out with our transatlantic charmer.
Oh, he's probably 50 with round shoulders and a paunch.
I've seen him. He isn't and he hasn't.
You're jealous, John.
That's right, I'm jealous.
Ah, Mr. Quendo.
Oh, good gracious. I didn't know you were on this train.
I caught it at the last moment. May I join you in your otherwise empty compartment?
Oh, certainly.
Would you mind if I pull the compartment blinds down? I find passers-by along the corridor distract me.
We get too little privacy these days, I must admit.
Ah, yes, yes. But now we have it. So, I will come straight to the point, Mr. Quendo. Who are you working for?
Working for?
I would have thought my question was clear.
Mr. Partney is my employer, I suppose.
You suppose?
He's the chairman of the society.
What society?
Well, strictly in confidence, we investigate phenomena. Psychic phenomena.
Come, come, my friend.
The supernatural.
Anything else?
Well, we're also concerned with extrasensory perception.
Suppose we stop sensing, What government are you working for, Mr. Quendo?
Government? The government doesn't have a department for supernatural activity.
You are either a fool or very clever.
This is preposterous.
In about 3 miles from here, there is a long tunnel, a very dark long tunnel. The darkness of it is preposterous, particularly if you have just fallen from a train traveling at high speed.
Really? I've never witnessed anything like this
before. Prove your statements, and you may live long enough to increase your chances of doing so again.
If you think...
The tunnel is getting nearer, Mr. Quennell.
Well, look, here is my case. I'll show you.
Well?
See. Brighton, 1967. Second speaker at the annual convention. And London, see that? Last year. Chairman at the sausage and mash supper. Now, do the sort of government departments you were talking about have sausage and mash suppers?
It could be a front. Why did you go to see Petrovsky?
I told you. We investigate phenomena.
You mean you thought his pinnacle of pins might be supernatural?
Precisely.
As my London friends would say, a likely tale.
Well, who are you anyway to be concerned with whether I'm telling the truth or not?
Perhaps I, too, am one interested in the psychic.
More likely you're a foreign agent.
That was a most unfortunate deduction, Mr. Quendell. See, the tunnel is even nearer than I thought. Only half a mile from the box we have just passed. Are you afraid of the dark, my friend?
You won't get away with this, Ostrovich.
No, mister. Very discourteous for an English legal gentleman.
Let me tell you, the first guard that comes along...
Well?
Please allow me to pass.
No, Mr. Quendell.
What's that?
It is not a water pistol, I assure you.
I'm warning you, Ostrovich.
I am not even going to warn you, Mr. Quennell.
Hi there. A drink?
I've got one, thanks. And you?
Ah, the old man's out back mixing it up for me. The name's Denver. Joe Denver.
My name's Bevis. John.
I'm pleased to meet you, John. You been around for some time?
A week or so.
I gather you're a writer.
News travels.
I got here this morning. You know, every American has to see the Highlands sometime before he dies.
You've got a long way to go yet.
Well, you never know. I gather there were more staying here.
That's right.
Yeah, sorry, I missed them. I understand they were both pretty interested in the local celebrity.
I didn't know there was one.
Petrovsky.
Oh.
You seen his pins?
Yes.
I hear the professor has a daughter.
Yes.
Pretty?
Quite.
You interested?
She's a nice girl.
Is that all?
I hope she stays that way.
I'm a nice guy.
Hello. Hello, Andreev.
Where is Ostrovich now? What is he doing in London? Waiting for what? He could equally wait in Scotland. I know he's just left there. Doesn't it concern you that a CIA man has arrived on the Petrovsky horizon? You're not paid to be facetious, Andreev. That's better. So, if we assume they see a practical use for Petrovsky's technique, where should Ostrovich be? Precisely. Then see he gets there immediately. What for?
Huh.
Very well. Perhaps the CIA man was sent to watch Ostrovich, but we can't be certain, can we? You are also not paid to be a cynic, Andreev. Goodbye.
Ostrovich is back.
Igor? Oh, no.
Yes, he returned this morning, complete with fishing tackle. I saw him last about an hour ago stalking our American friend through the heather.
Mr. Denver's coming to see Father tomorrow.
I hope the professor's heart is in suitable shape.
That's cruel, John.
In the long intervals between seeing you, Catherine, I found time to chat with a certain Dr. Donaldson.
I see. Oh, I'm sorry I tried to mislead you, but I wasn't sure.
Ostrovich visited the good doctor this morning, too.
How do you know?
I followed him.
But why should he think to go there?
He probably followed me in the first place.
Oh, the whole thing's ridiculous.
That may soon become dangerously ridiculous.
Suppose Father made his secret public.
I thought that was the last thing he'd do.
Just suppose.
That might end this farce anyway.
Then you'd go back to London.
Would you mind?
Yes.
I could come back.
How?
As an individual, if you wanted it that way.
There'd be no hope the other way.
If I fail in this assignment, I intend to stay with the job until I succeed. You understand?
Only too well.
Of course, if your father did make his technique known, I could resign with honor.
Then Father must change his mind, mustn't he?
Good evening, Mr. Bevis.
Ah, my friend. I was about to order my evening pint of British beer. Join me, please.
So you've forgotten I told you to go to the devil?
Everybody says that sometimes. It is of no consequence.
Let me buy you a beer in that case. Two pints, please, and one for yourself.
Best bitter? I've two drawn and ready.
And how long are you here for this time?
Who knows?
Two best bitters, gentlemen.
Thank you. Your good health, Mr. Bevis.
Cheers.
The recent rain should improve my chances of a catch, eh, landlord?
No pins, Mr. Ostrovich?
Only fish, Mr. Bevis.
Well, now, Igor, you old rascal.
Oh, how are you, Joe? How are you?
As if you didn't know. Skulking half a mile behind me all day?
I didn't think very much of your act, pretending you didn't know I was there.
Just the same. It's good to see you.
So long, so long. Now, where was it last? Vienna, Vienna, that's it. Those knights stalking you by the Danube. Oh, landlord, landlord, a drink for my friend.
The usual, Mr. Denver?
Yeah, that's it. With a double swish of the tequila.
Oh, so you still drink that poisonous concoction, Joe?
Yeah. Anyway, it was more the sewers than the Blue Danube. I can still smell them.
You know, Mr. Bevis, my friend Joe is no Harry Lyme.
Never wanted to be. You gather, Igor and me are old buddies.
I gather.
Mr. Bevis is also one of us, you know.
I guessed he was. This writing a book business... Corny.
He's new with the game.
Well, we've all got to start sometime.
He just asked me if I was interested in pins.
No more than a passing comment.
There you are, Mr. Denver. Your desert juice.
Thanks. What's the job worth, anyway, Igor? What do you want Petrovsky's know-how for?
Well, I'm only here to watch you.
That again. I'm here to tag you.
You're not after Petrovsky's technique either?
Nope. What about John here?
Oh, Mr. Bevis, he's here to watch me.
Am I?
Of course you are. Your top man, Mr. Blakesby, has given you explicit orders, I know.
Oh, come on, friend. Don't look so darn gloomy. We all hold the same union card. The big boys up top may push the pawns around, but it's up to the pawns to stick together. Hey, Igor?
That wasn't the impression I got when I took the assignment.
That lot up top. They don't know what goes on.
They live in a James Bond dream fantasy.
You stick with us, friend. You won't lose. What do you say, Igor? Suppose we stick around for, say, a couple of weeks?
No, too long.
All right, give it a week. Then we both report enemy repulsed and go our separate ways, okay?
Okay. Then you can come home and report success, Mr. Bevis.
Just like that?
A week's vacation with everybody the winner. Suit you, John?
Yes. Yes, it suits me. It suits me fine.
I saw Petrovsky's pins today. How a guy can spend a lifetime building that useless contraption. I saw his daughter, though.
Tread carefully, Joe.
You're too old, Igor.
No, no, Mr. Bevis here.
Oh, a romance, eh?
Perhaps.
I always thought the British were stiff-lipped, but I guess you're the most stiff-lipped of them all. Just say lay off and I lay off.
Lay off, then.
Okay, I lay off. By the way, Igor, I gather there was another guy on the scene. Quennell? Who was he working for, anyway?
Oh, some psychical investigation society.
You're kidding.
Oh, well, I don't think we'll see him again.
You live and learn on this game. A spook chaser. Yes, sir, you live and learn.
So, you want to leave us, eh, Bevis? Been smoking too much heather or something up there?
Let's just say I'm not psychologically suited to the job.
Well, damn it, you've made a success of your first assignment.
I don't claim much credit.
Modesty becomes you, Bevis, but don't overdo it. Your father will be disappointed when he hears.
I'm sure he'll survive the shock.
Of course, I can't stop you going. Just the same, even a retired agent of your brief standing can be a problem. You've got to know a few of our people here.
I intend to forget the last 6 months. I don't want to remember it.
It's a pity our old friends Ostrovich and Denver got to know who you were. They could get curious about your late connections here. When you've cut the link with us, you're likely to consider your life much more valuable than any previous loyalties.
Isn't that rather dramatizing the situation?
Did you know that the man Quennell has not been seen since the day he left Scotland?
He's probably gone for a quiet holiday somewhere.
You haven't learned, have you, Bevis?
I intend to get up before I start learning.
Excuse me. Now, don't go, Bevis. I want you to hear this. Blakesley here. About Ostrovich and Denver. They are. Both of them? Good. Leave it a few days, then make it, separate. Not connected, if you know what I mean. Fine, keep it tidy. We have a strong sense of self-survival, Bevis.
So I'm being led to understand. I presume that as soon as I'm out of the office, you'll be adding me to your disposal list?
We don't eat our own young men, not unless we're forced to. By the way, what would you like for a wedding present?
How do you know?
We're in business to know. Well?
Nothing.
Ah, Bevis, not like that.
So, all right. Leave Ostrovich and Denver alone.
You wouldn't like Buckingham Palace thrown in as well.
It's in the wrong part of the country.
I'll tell you what. You can have Denver for your wedding present. Now, there's generosity. Ostrovich is a different kettle of fish, though. There are other reasons there.
I asked, anyway.
I listened.
And now you know why I'm leaving.
Dear sir, it is but a month or two since I last wrote to your illustrious journal. I have now decided, after long prognostication...
Father, tea!
I am writing my letter.
It could wait half an hour. I've got scones.
Scones? Then indeed I will come. Well, my dear. And what did that young man say in his letter?
He's coming up again soon.
Well, why can't he wait a few weeks? As soon as my letter's published.
He's no longer an agent. He's resigned.
Good. Ah, Mrs. McPherson scorns. Still manna from heaven. You love him, Catherine.
John? Nearly, I think.
That's no answer.
I never really got to know him when he was here. I think that once he's free, he'll be a different person.
Does he love you?
I think he could if he let himself.
Aren't you leaving a lot to chance?
Here's your tea, Father. Must you pick up the newspaper while I'm talking to you?
I just saw a headline, my dear. Listen to this. Body found in Thames.
Do you have to be morbid?
The body of the man found drowned yesterday in the pool of London has been identified as Igor Ostrovich, a Russian-born businessman.
Oh, no!
Foul play is not suspected.
Oh, how terrible. Oh, I hope nothing happens to Joe.
Joe?
Mr. Denver. Oh, I'm sure nothing will. Perhaps it was an accident.
What about your John, Catherine?
John? He told me in his letter they'd let him go.
Can you believe that?
I have to. Yes, I do.
Let me give you the wisdom of an old man, Catherine. Let Petrovsky speak.
Father, please.
Petrovsky hereby decrees that one day he will confer sainthood on Mrs. McPherson.
Oh, dear. We're just where we were before it all began.
We are not, my dear.
No. We've gained a little wisdom, I suppose. I may even gain John.
And in a week or two, every man can have his own pinnacle of pins. Think of that. Do it yourself. The impossible will have become the ordinary. Ah, I'm glad I wrote my letter, Catherine. And I'm just as glad I'm writing the present one.
You're not just saying that to please me?
Of course I am. You should know. You can't trust old Petrovsky. You see, Catherine, there's a principle I've just discovered that makes my pinnacle of pins appear no better than a child's plaything.
Oh, no.
Ah, give me 5 years, and I'll have something to show our Mr. Quenner. He won't call me a vehicle then.
You'll never change, Father, will you?
Why should I? Petrovsky's always been good enough for Petrovsky.
Well, we've got 5 years, I suppose, before it all breaks out again.
Don't worry, Catherine, my pretty daughter. We'll probably have a trained ex-agent in the family by then. He can protect us, huh?
Yes, I suppose so. He can protect us.
Be sure to tune in next Wednesday night at 8 and every Wednesday night for the week's finest radio entertainment brought to you for your listening pleasure by your hosts, the Brewers of Castle Lager. So until next week then, a very good night to you all.